Hey guys, Liam Duggan here, captain of the 4WD podcast. We're driven by the Shelter Brewing Co. and are a part of Backchat Studios. You can support us on Patreon, where you can get bonus content and episodes before everybody else. Head to patreon.com/the4WD podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Righto, welcome back to the 4WD podcast, driven by Shelter Southern River Band, Let It Ride. That's the music that we've got going on in the background, Trav. You can't hear it, but it'll be there on the on the show.
It's a good song, mate. It's a good song.
It's a great song. For all everyone listening, viewing the 4WD podcast on Instagram, all of our videos over at Backchat's YouTube. Ronnie, we're going to crack in. It's the first day of the Perth show. We've got a special guest who I'd like you to introduce for us.
Well, guys, this is, or Liam, this is Travis from Perth Diesel Performance.
Who we've seen on your videos.
Yeah.
So he might be a stranger to the people that have joined us on the podcast as well, but we have seen Trav. I feel like I know Trav because I've watched him on screen before. But
how are you, Trav? Yeah, good, mate. Same thing. Been watching you guys as well. So, yeah.
Good. Here we go. Based on name. Thanks for popping on, mate. Obviously, you're set up over there across the way, so you couldn't really get out of this one. Jono brought you over.
This one for sure.
Managed to prime away from his tent.
Yeah. So, what's the setup look like for you at the Perth show here? What's who are the big customers for you? You've got a pretty big tent.
Yeah, so good setup this year. All the teams put in a big effort. Got the 300 series there. Got all the new products released on that. So the weather's turning on. People are here and it's all happening. It's probably the easy bit where we get to relax and just spend the time with all the customers now.
Yep.
Did you say relax?
Yeah, I actually find it easier to just chill out now and just do what we do. And it's been a big week and a lot of late nights to get here.
Yeah, right. When did setup start?
Monday morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So. Oh, Monday. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow, right.
Yeah, because I saw you here last night. I was like, oh, so what are you up to after here? Oh, yeah, I'll probably be here till 7, he
was saying. Yeah, I was pretty rattled yesterday. It's good just to come down now and just relax and, just like I say, catch up with everyone.
Yep.
Do this. Sorry, guys. Have a chat with all the customers.
You get a phone call, mate.
I am.
Jesus.
It's a spam. Should we put them on live? It'll be a spam call.
Answer it.
Oh, it'll be a spam call.
I dare to answer it.
Too late now.
That'd been good. sorry, Trav. Back to you, mate. So, obviously, we've seen you on Ronnie's shows and all that, mate. But give us a little bit of, obviously, at the 4WD podcast. So, we started this out on the beginner, Ronnie's the expert. That's sort of the way that we've been getting across to people. But we spoke about at the start of it, our stories. So, how did you get into the industry or into 4WD driving, camping? Has it been a passion of yours for a long time?
So, when I was 18, the first Land Cruiser I had was an 80 series. Couldn't afford to actually make or buy products for it, so I started making my own products.
Yep.
A lot of long weekends. Had that vehicle for probably 10 years, just modifying it. Actually made my own first wheel carrier because I couldn't afford a Kmart.
Yeah,
so
right.
I made that for that and That's then awesome. Learned what broke, what worked, and went from there. Did my time. And, I actually met Ronnie, probably over 10 years ago.
Yeah, that was an interesting meeting, the way that happened, yeah.
And, started working on his car. He was starting out as well. And then, sort of changed directions and went back to 4WD just from doing a lot of just sort of everyday vehicles.
Yep.
And then I think you got your dual cab and that really just transformed.
Yeah, that kind of, I think that kind of that's when the channel really took off. But I want to touch on how we actually.
Yeah, it sounds like it might be an interesting story.
So Harry and Sally. No, just kidding. So what happened was I used to have a Hilux and then 70 Hilux, and we're in the middle of fly puff.
Yeah, the winds must have changed. That's only the second one that's come over. We're just as we started.
And anyway, so the Hilux I had a steel cable winch, right, and had a remote. So someone was flying a remote control plane around, and it was interfering with my winch controller. And all of a sudden, I'll be in the kitchen because the garage was right near the kitchen. I could hear this meep. Like, what the hell's going on? I open the garage, it's like it stopped, and then I close it, and then this kept happening over the course of a few weeks, and then eventually I caught it and I was like, what's going on? It's bird nesting, and it sort of went around and then in and then out. It was a bloody mess. So I had to pull all the cable out. Now what happened was, at the end of your rope there's a little screw that holds it in. That screw had rattled out at some point. So when I got to the last few spools, it just took over. Cable has its own memory. It just went whoosh, whoosh, and then went bang all the way up the bloody air conditioner condenser, put holes in it. And the next day we're supposed to do a little trip, and the missus says to me, it's 38 degrees tomorrow, we're not going in your car. Yeah. And I was like spewing. So we had to hop in a mate's car, and then that's when I brought the car to Trav to get the aircon regassed, but also
that was the way you guys connected the first time.
The aircon, that's right. Replace the condenser, and then I think you just kept coming back in after you break it every weekend, and it was just never. And yeah, there you go. Hasn't really changed, has it?
No, it hasn't really changed. No, it hasn't.
Well, your car now, then, Trav. So you started in the 80 series,
yes,
first four wheel drive. Yep. That's your 79.
Yeah, so had,
over here.
Yeah, had the 80 first.
Yep.
Had two Prados.
Right.
And just went, nah, it's not really what I want to do. So
yep.
At the 200 series, then Ronnie was working on the dual cab of Ronnie. So thought, you know what, time to get a dual cab as well.
Right.
Just rugged and tough. And then progressed from there and just started making parts for them. And
yep.
Doing all the dual batteries and tuning and clutches. And
yeah, okay. Yeah.
It just kept going on and on. And I don't know, just products evolved. Time went on.
Yep.
And here we are today.
So PDP now is... So explain to me, so if I rocked up front door like Ronnie did that day, what can you offer me? What issues am I coming to you with, or what am I adding to my car if I come to you guys?
So generally, we'll start off with a blank canvas. I mean, obviously, we've been probably pretty lucky with a lot of people influx of just buying dual cabs and new Land Cruisers and starting builds out. Predominantly, a lot of customers were coming to us. They went clutches, tuning, air filtration, snorkel, anything upgrade. We're building complete vehicles.
Yep.
And then we got busier with making our own products. So then we had to drop off some of the workshop side of it and focus more on the R&D and making the products.
Right.
Then COVID came along, and we transformed the business more from making supply of parts and obviously shipping them to customers. Guys are at home. They want to do work themselves, DIY. Got inspired with Ronnie doing the YouTube. So we started doing like channel, you know, how to install.
Yep.
Actually, Ronnie used to film some of that for us as well.
Right. Yep.
We're teaching Ronnie how to fix his own car as well.
That was good.
Yeah. So then it went from there, and then obviously broadened that range with the 200 series. Same thing, just expanded upon that.
Yep.
And then obviously of late, we've got the 300 series.
Right.
Just got a bit too busy, obviously, when Ronnie got the Hilux. He bought that one and said, "Oh, you're still going to work on it? No, it's not really a Land Cruiser, but But yeah, look, we are limited what we can and can't do. Obviously, things do take time to get them right.
Yeah.
So I tend to head out and break the stuff, and then he just makes it so it doesn't break.
Definitely, the dual cab's been a testament to how well and rugged and finished we can get everything. And I know if this guy can't break it, it's pretty rock solid.
So it's a Toyota. It's a Land Cruiser.
Generally speaking, that's what we focus on. Obviously, there's a lot of generic products. We support all them as well. And then obviously through COVID, just having the power to supply, and we get customers country, regional, overseas. We've got customers today from overseas traveling, come see us, buy stuff, take it back with us.
From overseas?
They'll come and deck a vehicle out in Australia, build it here, ask for recommendations, who do I go and see. Sean's been working on Climbing's, a few others that have been working on their cars while they're here, inspired by people, you know, building cars and traveling.
Yep.
So yeah, awesome. You know, doing this sort of stuff, the world becomes quite small.
Yeah, yeah. So is that for you? You're based in, is it Wangara?
Correct.
Based up there, yeah. So how big's your shop? What, how many staff?
It's funny enough, that tent over there is bigger than my shop. Oh, is it? We're just very efficient with our space at work, and hence why now we do struggle a little bit to get the cars in and out, and we're now focusing more on just design and manufacturing and having the power supply. I'm doing a lot of DIY kit, and then obviously looking forward to having a dealer network in the coming future.
Yeah, okay.
So obviously our parts we can have for guys that can't fit it themselves, there's a dealer near them that they can approach.
Yeah, righto. Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? Like, yeah, your stall is bigger than your workshop. But then I'm just realizing, my stall is bigger than my unit we edit out of two.
Yeah. That's just how we're very efficient with space, but obviously getting three Land Cruisers in a shop. And so to be fair, some of our builds as well, we used to have them. Someone could be there for 3-4 weeks if it's a really big job. Yeah. By the time you put it all together and finish it, things don't happen overnight. They do on YouTube, but in the real world, they take a bit longer.
Yeah. You're going to put a hoist over there in your tent?
We could fit one in there, but I think I'm liking where we're going with it. It's pretty exciting. Like I say, with the 300 series, what would you say? I'm more excited to see it just transforming into a car that I can just jump in, turn key and go, and it's all set up ready to use. Yep.
Have you seen the 300, Liam?
I haven't been over for a look yet,
On that last trip, because I can't get one to replace it quick enough. with Ronnie's car and the setup, it was just simple, easy. It was efficient to camp out of. It's always expensive to go camping with you guys because I see something new and I'm like, oh, maybe I should get that, like a rooftop tent. And I'm like, I don't need one of them. But after we camped on the rocks a few nights, it was starting to reconsider that sort of process.
Yeah. I have the same battles on out. Yeah. We travel back from Adelaide together and I was saying to someone before, you start to compare yourself to this and that. And I'm in this and I'm like, oh, hang on a sec.
Swag,
yeah. But it's a pretty good, a decent size swag. Look, so.
I'm telling you though, yeah, you might have the odd 90 on the rocks, right? But if you have a roof, you've got to lug that around everywhere, and it's stuck in your car. So, look, I'm looking forward to hopping in the swag.
Yeah, you're
next
saying
week.
That. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, the saying comparison is the thief of joy. I always try and
grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah, yeah. We used that somewhere, didn't we, recently? Because we've spoken.
We use that a lot, actually.
Well, just on us with the rooftop 10, so like you guys are saying, it's just so quick and easy.
It is cool.
Cook out of, I love the U with the tray. Like I was just saying to someone today, why haven't you got a, canopy on the back, this and that? I used to use it as a work ute.
Yep.
Something with work and play would work for me there. 200 series, really love that. That's just jump in and go.
Yep.
So, yeah, I can tell you love your 200.
So the white one, the 200 series, that's just my everyday love how that is. My end goal with the 300 series, have that pretty much carbon copy, just jump in, go, kids.
What's the difference between setting the 300 up to the 200? Like if you want to carbon copy it basically, what are there any restrictions in the 300 that will limit you from doing what you've done with the 200?
Generally, obviously, weight is something I'm being very mindful of, GVM space. Main thing is just redesigning everything. So what we generally do is scan the vehicle. To date, I haven't actually drilled a hole in that 300 series. Right. Everything's picking up on all factory mounting holes. So we start with scanning the vehicle, then obviously goes in CAD, draw it, then it's laser cut and CNC folded. So it's very particular how it has to be for repetition. And so as the end user gets one of our products, it fits their vehicle. Nothing more frustrates me more than when you get something and it isn't doing what it's meant to do and you've got to modify it. And that's probably what started me making my own products, because we used to buy other products, so to say, would modify it to suit what we need to do. And a big part of it is getting car parts, they're going to work with other parts, not they haven't just got a vision of it's their part, no other aftermarket accessory has to work with it.
So
we want to make it all come together.
Right.
So no holes drilled yet. Have you drilled a hole in your car yet? He's reluctant to answer.
I call mine the Bitzer, because there's not one thing on there that's from the same mob or company, or there's a lot of different
yes,
bits and pieces on there.
Well, at least not a catalogue car then.
Yeah, no, it's not. But yeah, there's some stuff there that, yeah, we probably won't. I don't need to mention it on here too much.
Yeah.
It's probably going to fall apart pretty soon, Obby. Yeah. If you're ever thinking about doing any of them with a Ranger, mate, let me know.
Yeah.
Because I don't thrash them around like Ronnie thrashes his, but there is stuff that needs fixing.
I mean, I always say I can put my hand up, though. I don't make things happen in a hurry, but when I've done it, it's pretty pretty particular in how it finishes off.
Surprised you wanted to go there.
I knew I was going to see the look on your face going, oh, I can back that one up.
That's why I got two cars, Liam.
Yeah. Oh, well, so one's sitting in there.
He's fixing one. Yeah. That's my fault, though.
Yeah, that's actually when I did the Troopy. Ronnie, I think you gave me some dodgy dates telling me when you're going away just so you get the car back.
I reckon you mixed them up.
Yeah, oh, definitely, mate.
I thought you said the 31st. No, it's the 13th.
When Ronnie used to ring up and goes, Trav in today? Is he working on my car and check in on me?
Behind the scenes here.
Yeah.
Let the man just have his space, mate, and get it done for you.
Yeah.
Quality job.
No, he had a point. I've had your car for a bit too long on that one.
The result. Everyone's happy with the result.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. But when I was going with the holes in the car, since I cut the roof here, drilling a hole is much easier.
Yeah.
It's cutting the roof off, you know. As soon as you do that one hole in your car, it's like pinstriping your car for the first time. It is so painful.
Yeah.
It's horrible. But afterwards, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Actually, I do remember you cutting the roof off here because you come home and you said you got an air compressor.
Oh,
yeah. The compressor went down halfway through the cut.
Yeah. I was here last year as a spectator for that, actually. Obviously, how long did it take in the end? I only had one day.
It was supposed to take 15 minutes or 20 minutes, but it took like 3 hours because it was like...
Hats off, though.
And you're having a crack at Trav for holding your car for too long. That's everyone, mate.
We had to actually run a generator out in a car park just over here, have a lead in
to run
the air compressor. Yeah, that was the end result.
Well, past all the people we need.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Actually, you were a bit flustered that day. I was like, oh, mate, I can't help you out. Tin snips or something.
Yeah. Nothing was going right, eh? But, you know, credit to Daniel from Expedition Centre. Like, he flew all the way over here just to get the job done, and they did an amazing job. Yeah. So
it's a pretty cool concept to do that at a show too.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
And then to drive it back and leave it at his workshop.
Oh, he drove it back.
Well, I drove it back.
Oh, you drove it back.
And then that's where I left it in Sydney.
Right. Oh, yeah. that's who had it again this year, wasn't it?
Yeah. But sorry, on the 300, the 300 looks shorter now because you've put some nice rubber on it and you've lifted it up. It looks absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of lift in there now, so I can clearance those tyres. Like the last trip, I had to put the factory wheels back on it just to make sure I didn't scrub out. But it's a pretty impressive car off-road. The sand, it's compared to the 200. The 200, when you drive it off-road, feels like a heavy car. Like if you stop in really soft sand, you're like, oh, you go down, you know, you go pear-shaped real quick. Whereas the 300 seems like quite a light vehicle, sit right on top.
But it's not as many mods on the 300 yet, though.
No, correct. Yeah, it hasn't got all the boxes ticked quite yet. I think obviously by the time you put some bar work on it, extra, you know, all that sort of stuff, water tanks, hasn't got the fuel tanks in it as well, so haven't ticked those boxes yet. But definitely we'll be doing that.
What does it burn per 100? Like per 100 liters?
Impressive. That car. Haven't done too much towing with it. Towing's not my jam. I've got a small camper trailer. I haven't done a big trip with it. Around town, probably getting around 10 and a half.
Wow.
So, whereas compared to the other vehicles. Good. And it drives like a car.
Yeah.
Like it's a nice car to drive. Mm. And talking about scratching it the first time you take it out, I did almost cry. I was just like, wasn't the color of choice. I wanted the graphite because I knew it's just going to show all those pinstripes up. So that's why, actually, from the last trip, driving home, I was driving with Ryan and I said, you know what? I'm going to wrap the 300. He goes, why? I said, because I want to do a trip like this and I just can't see myself bringing a 300 series out here. It's going to devalue it so badly.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
So, yeah, wrap, got it done and, yeah, I haven't looked back.
It looks cool, hey? It's like that the wrap you put on it has just made the paintwork look different because it's a clear wrap, right? It's like a PPE.
Correct. Yeah, self-healing. So,
self-healing.
Yeah, self-healing. Okay. So,
explain that to me. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
I've had it on a customer's car, so I was a bit you know, obviously you can put lots of different products on there. Our customer 200 series, he had it on there for four and a half years, something like that. And it really looked after his car. I had cut through that to fit a snorkel and it didn't peel off like some of the other products on the market, I suppose you'd say. And so I was confident with it. I'd seen it applied and used and in the real world. And what happens is when it gets all the scratches on it, it just sits in the sun and the heat just like, the scratches sort of just dissolve,
right?
Come back into it. I mean, maybe cruel. I don't know, not for, maybe for you, Ronnie. Maybe not. But I know I can see your face. You're like, really? Scratches just come out like that?
Watch this.
Yeah, watch this. you can literally get a wire brush and just like run it on the panel, and then either get a heat gun or put it in the sun, and they just go away.
Yeah, right.
So.
That's on this 300 now?
Yeah, on the 300. So I didn't do it to color change it. There is a shiny and a matte version of it.
Yep.
I thought I'll go matte because it'll be easy to keep clean. And the plus side, I never have to worry about polishing the car. So, in saying that, I did get the 70 detailed, and the detail says, you've only got 90 micron of paint left on your car panels. It's getting a bit thin. So,
how many old polishes?
Yeah, that's exactly. It'll be down to the primer.
Yeah. is the goal at PDP? So, if you set these cars up and you've got them on show here, and I'm assuming social media helps somewhat potentially, but is that the goal, to get someone come in and say, right, I've just bought a 300 brand new, I want it to look like that?
Yes, pretty much. So proof's in the pudding. Obviously, you can see the product, see how it's fitted, not just a catalog car and go, okay, looks good. Actually come up and see how it's finished off. And it's thought with all the other products that they might want to put on the car. I've chosen products I put on my car that are practical, functional, work, tick all the boxes for me personally. Yep. Not because they're going to say, here, this is what you sell. I'll sell what I want to sell and what works for me.
Yep.
And then obviously complement that with all our own bracketry, fuses, make sure it's all neat and tidy. Less impact as possible on the vehicle, try and keep the weight down. And the end goal then is to have all DIY kits and, so they can just say, hey, I want that, and build the current stages. Because not everyone can build this amazing rig or fit out or tour that, unless you win a lotto.
Well, yeah. I think if you can afford a 300 series, then they're going to be able to afford
more.
Yeah. And the other thing is, too, the power to say, we've got the kit, here it is, not just wait 6 months for the parts.
Yep.
So, there's nothing worse than going, okay, you make a decision, you want to put something on your car.
Yep.
We focus on delivering. If we say it's in stock, you can have it the next day. Right. So
that leads me into, so for our listeners and viewers, because some are starting out, some aren't exactly four-wheel drive people. What's your advice around what to start with? So say they can't do a full build, one hit, drive out, and it's all set. How would you start? What would you go to first? If you had to sort of break it up into three separate, I'm bringing the car to you three times, where would you start?
Okay, so I had that discussion with a customer this morning, actually. I was to say, start in one area, do it, and just focus on that area. So if it's the engine bay fit out, or it's the under of the vehicle, or the back of the fit, whichever way, don't be doing rewiring the vehicle three times, or if you're going to pull off, put fuel tanks or side steps, or you're doubling up on labor, especially if you're paying someone to do it. And make sure everything works. This is a big thing. Make sure whatever you're buying works with the other products.
Right.
Nothing worse than going, I want this, major your decision on what you want to go down, and the products don't complement each other, and you've got to make a choice of which one you want. So,
do you get a problem with that? So some people bring a car in, but they've got something fitted, and then they want, say, a particular fuel tank or something, and it doesn't fit with what they have.
Yeah, I had that. Like a fuel kit in a 200 series, we offer two. So we've got a passenger and we've got a driver's fuel kit, because early on, used to put three batteries under the bonnet of a 200 series. So we have a driver's fuel kit and a passenger. So it just depends on what option you've got.
Three batteries under the bonnet.
Yeah, so now it's not as common these days, but it used to be a thing, because the 200 series used to come out with two batteries.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So the done thing was to put a third battery in there. So
what a heavy nose, isn't it?
So obviously making it work and complement other products is the key.
Yep.
Not just going, okay, get the grinder out and the drill and tech screw and just she'll be right.
Yeah,
does that remind you of someone with the grinder?
Yeah. So, and like I like especially with Toyotas, there's lots of factory bolt holes, nutserts, things like that. When shall I say, we'll work on picking up on all those points to mount things yep. to. We're not one to say, you know, one thing I don't learn in the workshop is tech screws, scotch crimps, and twist and tape. That sort of quality control yeah. is something at all it's fine acceptable.
Yep.
So yeah, right. Just make sure whatever you pick, do it once, do it twice. Don't, it's like driving lights, you know, buy what you want, it's going to be right for you. Don't go and buy something and buy it twice. You know, okay, there's always upgrading, but there's also a lot of waste too.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's good advice. I mean, if you want to have all the lighting but you can't afford all the lighting, then just work on one part first.
Correct.
Yeah. Rather than try and cover the whole car with like yes. a cheaper thing. Yeah.
You know, work out what's going to work for your setup too. Have those, so I say, have a vision of you know, you might get someone that's never, I don't know, we say they buy a caravan. Have you had a caravan before? No. Well, maybe hire one and see if caravan's yeah, yeah. for you, you know, yeah. like, or off-roading. Do they like full driving? Or, you know, like, so work out what, yeah. are you a tour, are you a day camp? You know, you're just going over for one-nighters? You know, what do you actually, do you need a roof rack? Do you need to take that much stuff, you know?
Yeah.
You know, working out what's going to work.
With the 300 and the 200, so the 200 has the drop-down tailgate. Now, a lot of people we're upset about that. How do you find it now? Because you've got both vehicles, you've camped out of both vehicles. Does it still annoy you that I haven't done it to the 300, or you're like, whatever, I've just changed it all how it is?
The most, the bench is good, just a quick drop it down. You've got a bit of a table there, get stuff out. The approach that you can get closer to the back of the car, though, is a positive. So there is a pro and a con. Whereas the 200, you drop it down, you've got to climb onto it to get to the back, in the back yep. of the car. Hence why I probably want to put gull wings on the 200 so I can get deeper, you know, like yep. get easy access after watching you guys with your troopies with the side windows. Yeah. It just made it look easy for a coffee stop or yeah. what have you. The added bonus, I've got a 270 awning on the 200, so it covers the back of the car because you've only got a short tailgate. On the 300, I've gone for a 180 because I've got the long boot. I'm not caught up on it, but I did like the split tailgate because I had the 80 series, had the 200 and 300. They teased us, it made it look like a split tailgate, and you go, oh, it's a wagon. So, look, you just got to roll with it, eh?
Yeah. No, very good. Well, lighten it up a little bit, take it away from work. So with your trip that you've recently done with Ronnie that's come out on Ronnie's channel, how do you find that side of what you do? Like being able to actually go out and on a trip with this bloke, and is that one of the parts that you enjoy most? Well, he's hesitating.
I reckon five days is good.
How long
are we
there?
I don't know where this guy gets his energy from.
Yeah.
He's up early and goes to sleep last, and still energy to burn for hours. But yeah, hats off to him for what he puts together, because I'm after 5 days, I'm like, mate, I can't put, you know, you just, it's tiring.
Yeah.
Look, it's amazing.
We wrecked him for a few days.
Yeah. And in food, he doesn't eat.
Yeah, so it's the last trip. He's got very good self-control
yeah.
on the...
Yeah, so... I mean, the last trip, me and Sean, we actually stopped and just said, mate, we're going to put something in the travel buddy. And we dropped out of radio range. He's like, guys, hear him, yeah. are you there? He's talking to himself. And we just thought, we're going to get lunch and dinner ready, whichever one it turns into.
Yeah.
And then, then it turned into he stopped because he couldn't hear us. So we had a coffee break. Yeah, <right. laughs> and then I think there was a sandwich stop. We had a little braai on the
lunch. Yeah. The steak sandwich. That was good. That was a good call when he said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want me to stop for a coffee or any food, just say, hey, we should do a roadside fire.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm all for that.
Me and Sean thought about moving the travel buddy closer to the front of the car so you can maybe eat while you're driving. But I was lucky enough. I only cooked a few times in mine. Sean, he's a master in the kitchen.
Oh, my God. Oh, really?
And the torture he must have been going through with the smell.
Yeah. Can you imagine it?
And his marinades, it was good tucker.
So what about the destination? How'd you enjoy that? Because it was...
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
I was just talking to a couple of customers this morning. Yeah, Point Culver was probably highlight for me.
Yep.
And Bill Bunya along there. I mean, you've got the views. Like Twilight Cove.
Yeah.
All the cliffs. I mean, it's really hard to pick a favorite on that trip.
Yeah.
I mean, long stretches, from
on the back side. That was hard.
Yeah,
that's what killed you guys. Yeah,
it was just slow going.
Yeah, well, you get that little patch of lots of rocks.
Yeah,
little bit of sand. Rocks, come on.
Yeah, right.
So I wanted to give him the real experience because what happened to John Baxter was when he got shot, the two fellas took all the supplies and left. So that these guys couldn't eat, right?
Yep.
So John Eyre and Wiley, they had no food. So I wanted to give them the same experience.
Yeah, just
keep traveling, no food, no stops, no stops. Just keep going.
That started earlier than just there. Nah, it was that was a good trip.
Yeah, it
mean, it probably when we found those lads that rolled their vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
That was probably the first. Yeah, I was like, wow, nothing was planned popped up. And
it's crazy to think that that was actually the same trip.
Yeah.
Like when you watch that video and then see where you blokes ended up. It is incredible to think that that was actually the start of all that. Like, that felt like a trip in itself.
Yeah.
When I watched that back, they went and rescued someone and drove home. But it ended up, that just the start of a big adventure.
That was a long night. We catered for that. I would have liked to done a camp, stayed a night at Point Culver. I reckon that was was awesome down there.
But Ronnie should have stayed up one more night.
The writing was on the wall. I think Ronnie goes, no, we're going to push on. There's going to be some sort of hold up. We'll fall behind
Oh, very good.
I think not stopping that extra day actually cost us an extra 2 days on top. Because it just wrecked everyone.
Yeah, the late night at the start or not stopping at Point Culver.
Yeah, yeah. So my advice is like if you're starting to feel wrecked or if your crew's starting to feel wrecked, just take the extra night and then continue on. Yep. We could have punched out a lot of K's the next day, but we did bit.
Yeah.
But one fun thing that no one knows about, right, is when we got to Twilight Cove, remember that? We had our ice creams and all that stuff and then we looked up in the sky. Oh. And what looked like a beautiful day, it just opened up.
Oh, it turned on you.
Oh, mate. We got out of there pretty much.
Yeah, we hightailed it.
Was it an hour after that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I see you didn't actually stay around.
Nope. We couldn't. It just
pissed down. Where'd you go?
It was like...
We went to the
Seek shelter, did you?
Afghan Rock. Well,
you lived up to it. We were like, oh, camp, we got here in the daylight.
Yeah.
No, we're not. We're hitting the road. We literally were there... hour and a half, 2 hours?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and then we were like, I look at the front. Yeah, it shouldn't be too bad. We waited out a bit more, and then we were literally, it was raining heavy.
Yeah, right.
Sean was putting his rooftop back down. I was pushing kitchen back in. Yeah. And we ended up staying at the Afghan Rock, which was really cool.
Yeah, that was good. Camp in the dark again. I think that definitely.
Yeah, that was definitely in the dark.
Yeah, we found a new spot.
Interesting spot. You go in and it says you can go in and we come out and then it says do not enter private property on the other side. We're like,
there you go. I just want to take a quick note of how you're holding the mic at the moment. How'd you end up there? Bit of a side on the mic. Hey, we won't hold you up much longer, Trav. We have a segment on the 4WD podcast called Around the Fire Pit. So we get a little crackle going. We'd love to have a fire, but we can't.
It's sponsored by
Maxis. Yeah, you can hear it when you listen back. Maxis have come on board, so stoked to have them on board, and we're working hopefully with some questions from the crowd, but we don't have there's about 100 people here, but it's a quiet group, so hey, do you want a question, Jad?
Wicked,
me concerned. Look there, I got worried.
Get around the camper.
We're hoping that there might have been a couple of people here, but it's a quiet bunch. Unless you've got a question, mate.
You boys got a question? Yeah.
Oh, you got one? Yeah. Jump over here. Grab the mic so everyone can hear it.
Yeah. My question to you is North WA or South WA, and pros and cons of each.
Mate.
Nice. Thanks.
I have to be time of year, I'd say. Time of year. They're both good. Okay, I will say. South, probably not when it's in summer because it's so windy down there. So if you're going south and you want to be on the coast, you want to go between sort of March to about May, mid-May, or around about late September through to about now. Any other time, it gets a bit too windy down there. North, maybe not wet season if you don't like the humidity. Yeah.
What are you, mate? Are you north or south? North? Yeah. Good choice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What about you?
Oh, I'm easy. Anything not at work is a good trip, mate. And maybe, to some taco once a day is all right.
Yeah, 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 you can eat. Oh, Daniel from Dometic, do you have a question, mate? Yeah. Good. This is he's a big fan of the show, Daniel from Dometic.
Yeah, I just bought a shirt.
Who's leading the shirt sales?
I don't know who is leading shirt sales.
Well, ask Daniel what shirt he bought.
I bought
a Ranger. Bought the auto.
Oh, you bought the auto.
And how did someone with him that also bought a Ranger shirt? What shirt do you like better, Trav? The black or the
green? You're saying Lekker bought...
Oh. No, it wasn't Lekker. It was another bloke. No, that's true. He's waiting for a handout.
Yeah, I'd go... Yeah, I reckon I'd go the black one.
Ah, oh, Trav, killing me.
Tough, you go.
it's all right.
Hey, Jaden, voice beyond. Where's the tally at?
Because I bought six in Adelaide to try and get it.
I'm getting on there now.
Thank you, Daniel from Dometic.
Yeah,
thanks, mate.
Cheers.
Hey, we might leave you to it, Trav. Ronnie's got the Mad Venture stage coming up at 2:00.
So
Jono's starting to give me the look to get you out of here. But, mate, thanks for coming
on. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Trav. That's brought to you by Maxis around the fire pit. Podcast brought to you by Shelter because we're driven by them.
That's it. Driven by Shelter and Traction by Maxis. Hey, actually, I think Liam's got a question for you. How are we going to get these on his Ranger?
Oh, yeah.
I think you're saying the 300. Oh, that's all I was thinking.
Yeah, what a 300.
If you can do that, mate, I'll buy a Land Cruiser.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But anyway, Full Drive Podcast. Oh, God, there's Jace from All for Adventure coming over the mic there. But we'll leave you to it. Ronnie's got to go. Thanks, Trav. Appreciate
Cheers,
it, mate.
Guys. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, Southern River Band, let it ride. Seen us out. Almost got it, but I didn't.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.